Welcome to episode 133 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Whilst I was putting away my various equipment after a recent shoot, I got to thinking about the issue of when and why we make changes to our kit list. So, this week's show is based around a simple enough question. At what point do you change, upgrade, sell on, and replace your kit, regardless of whether that might be a camera, a lens, a tripod, lighting, whatever? Take a listen and let me know what you think. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 133. Okay, so the thing that I've been thinking about is a question. And it's a question that is based on my own immediate requirement and the fact that as I record this, I am stood here with a load of kit in front of me, cameras, tripods, cases and bags and what have you. And the question is, at what point do you change, upgrade, sell on, replace your kit? Now, whether that's a tripod, or whether it's a camera, or even a lens, or it could be lighting even. So, I'm kind of recording this hands-free. As I record this, I've just recorded another podcast where I was just packing away some stuff after my sort of recent exploits, and it's all been very hectic. And you will, by the time you hear this, you will have already heard that episode, and of course I'll link to it in the show notes here. But I've still got all this equipment out in front of me. Excuse me, still got the tail end of cold, so the odd cough now and then. But I'm looking at the various bags and storage and what have you with my kit. And you do amass equipment. Now, it could be that you just have, you know, my kit list is very humble compared to a lot of photographers. But compared to others, you would think I've got all the gadgets, all the cameras, all the lenses. Which, of course, is not the case. But it's just what kit you need for the work that you're shooting. If you are an enthusiast photographer, you probably, depending on your how far along the path you are, it could be that you've just got one camera, one lens, or even a bridge camera, and a basic like tabletop tripod. That might be all you've got, and that's brilliant because it's perfectly suited to you. It will allow you to do everything you need to do. And why should you change it? As and when you progress, and as and when you have the funds to do it, you might think about changing and what have you. But for me, I am kind of rubbish at getting rid of old kit, which is very bad. I'm not sentimental. I don't attach personal connections to my cameras. They are tools. They allow me to do the job and earn my living. But I think the reason why I've kept hold of my older cameras is because I have used them almost to the point where they've either gone wrong and it's not worth having them repaired, or they have been used to the point where there is not really a point in even putting them on eBay. Now, I'll give you a prime example, and I haven't done any research for this, so I can't quote any figures to you. I still have a Nikon D2H, which was not a popular camera. Well, it was a popular camera with a lot of people, but it was not one of those cameras which people look back with great fondness. a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, always jokes, and we always joke, that it, even Nikon didn't like that camera. I actually loved it. It was only a 4-megapixel camera. At the time, things had advanced far on from that. You had, I think it was the D2 around that time, or possibly the D2X. A lot of you will know. I would have to just double check to be sure. But I still have that camera, and it's a bit of a beast. It's quite a small LCD on it, and the ISO, because of the time, the ISO, you can't shoot much over from memory. Or what was it, ISO, probably about ISO 500, it starts to get quite grainy. But then on other occasions, it was brilliant, and you think, well, where's the grain? Even at that ISO, you know, so a lot of it comes down to the lighting you use and how crisp it is and this, that and the other. I also have, it's funny, I've never got rid of any of my digital SLR cameras. So I've got a D100, I've got a D2H, I've got a D200, which was a great camera in its time. But the thing is, they don't just sit there unused. I do still use them. So I'll give you a prime example. I have here, and we will sort of move on to my main consideration at the moment. I have here a low pro photo trekker AW, or rather a mini, mini trekker AW, which is a small rucksack, which a lot of you would have heard me talking about this a lot over the years. And, you know, it's a bit frayed around the edges, but it still holds up, and I still use it. This particular one is covered in dirt, because the last time I actually used it was going back in, I won't say dirt, sort of dust, like the remnants of dry sort of gravel track dust. The last time I actually took this out and about was back in the summer at the Goodwood Festival of Speed. And I will link to this, and you again go into the search box in the Active Photographer on the website there, and just type in Goodwood or Festival of Speed, and you'll see a load of references to it. But this bag just keeps on going, and I love its bits. And it's, you know, it's getting a bit old and all the rest of it now, but it still does the job. It protects my kit. But at the Festival of Speed, I had planned, and in the event, because of my brief and time constraints, I didn't get around to doing it, but I wanted to set up some remote cameras at the rally stage. And the rally stage with classic rally cars sort of driving around, what have you. Now, of course, I could get my D3 or my D800 and put them on a remote and hook them up with pocket wizards and delay switches and all this sort of thing. And that's fine. But because I'm not so attached to these cameras, for that reason, I took them as remote cameras. So, of course, everything's insured. So if a rock flew off from under one of the back wheels of a car as it sped around a corner, and I had the camera positioned on the inside corner or outside corner or what have you, if a rock did come and smash into the camera or the lens, and I'd put sort of a slightly older lens on there, it's all insured. I could just claim, and my insurance is new for old, so there is your upgrade. I would never, let me make this absolutely clear, I would never suggest or recommend that anyone deliberately trashes a camera just to claim on the insurance. That's very, very wrong. Do not do that. But if the camera got totaled in the course of my work, I do have the cover there so that I would upgrade at that point. So in this bag, I've got various things. I've got some securing wire here with some carabiners and a padlock to make sure that the camera doesn't go flying off if it did get knocked or anything. I've got a D2H and a D200. And I did at that time have some pocket wizards in there and a little ground level sort of tripod or some super clamps, and I will link to these various items in the show notes. But that is one of the reasons that I kept hold of these cameras. Yes, I kind of have that. I'm in that dangerous zone where I think, oh, you know, in sort of 10 years' time, or 20 years' time, I'll on the basis I've still got them, I'll look back and I'll think, crikey, hasn't the photography world moved on? And or I might say, nothing's really happened particularly, has it? you know, but there is that kind of. Oh, my mind's gone blank. What's the word I'm thinking of? Nostalgia. You know, there is that, of course. And then, you know, so when my daughter sort of wants to talk about photography, it's nice to say, well, look, this is one of the first digital cameras that Daddy had. And, you know, there is that. So I won't pretend that that doesn't exist. However, the D200, in all the years that I used it as one of my day-to-day cameras, I never used it with the time-lapse function. So you can set it up over varying periods of time to take a picture, I know, every 30 seconds or every minute or every hour or whatever you want it to do. But since it has not, since it has become one of my absolute standby or remote cameras, I've actually used that function because it means that I'm not having to use one of my, shall we say, better day-to-day cameras, my D3 or my D800. I'm not having to use those cameras just to record the progress of a shoot, which is what I tend to use the time-lapse for. So, for example, and I will link to this, a lot of you will have seen... Oh, now, when was it? Was it last year? A year ago, I forget now. Year before that, maybe. I was involved with the Focus on Imaging behind the scenes, all the campaigns for the advertising, the press ads and what have you. And of course, Focus on Imaging as a show is no longer going. But I did put together a behind the scenes video, and it was comprised of all these time lapse pictures. So it's not video; it's just still pictures put together in a timeline. And you can see the progress. But the D200 was excellent for that. I set it up on a tripod. I set the timer, set the focus, locked that. The exposure, I think I was able just to set the camera to manual because the lighting really didn't change. And any that did change, I was able to just alter a little bit in post-production to keep it all on the level with the others. And that camera became helpful, came into its own as a just a in the background recording device. So I'm looking at got in front of me a Pelly 1510 roller case, which I use as my go-to case. I don't, apart from if I'm using a rucksack, I don't tend to carry stuff over my shoulders. I like to save my back and use a roller case. But I've got in here a couple of Nikon SB800 flash guns, which one of them was repaired a few years ago. Touch wood, bit of superstition again. They keep on going. But those most likely, I would like to add to my Speedlight kit, but that hasn't been a priority up to this point, which is why I've only kept those two. And I've got some other flash guns which are just in a box somewhere, an old Metz hammerhead flash gun and an old Vivitar 285, which is a completely manual camera, which, but again, if I needed another remote flash, I could put a Pocket Wizard on there, set it onto manual, and it would work absolutely fine. So again, I've kept those flash guns just for occasions where I need just a bit of extra. But my immediate, and this is the point, my immediate thoughts are, when I first started out, one of my very first commercial jobs, the client paid for the hire of some Elinchrom lights and a couple of soft boxes and the stands and all the rest of it to allow me to light the shots as they needed to be. And that was all shot on film, so I was charging for the film and the processing. He picked up the tab for the hire of the lighting directly, and that all worked okay. But when it when I got paid for that job, I realized very quickly, let's just put this bag away. I realized very quickly that I needed some proper lighting. And what I then did was I went out and I bought some lights of my own. Now, for whatever reason, and I think from memory, I think it was probably a financial aspect, which was, as much as anything, was one of my main concerns or considerations. I bought into the Bowens lighting system, and you've probably heard me talk about Bowens lights and seen behind the scenes pictures, and you might even have seen them in some videos or this, that, and the other. But Bowens are very good for studio photography. They're very good for product photography stuff, where you're kind of, you set them up, you leave them in situ, and yeah, they're pretty mobile. You can move them around and what have you. But of course, things change. The nature of my work changes. The amount of travel I do changes, and I am now at a position whereby they are not the ideal lights for me. They work perfectly fine. They have held up over the years. I've looked after them, which is probably why they've lasted. I've had them pat tested for making sure that all the electrics and what have you work absolutely as they should do. So I have, in theory, I have no reason to get rid of them, other than the nature of my work has changed and I want to be taking lighting out onto a hillside, or down on a beach, or I don't know. Sort of, if I had to load a car and then go up, walk down a path or something with lights in a rucksack. If I had a couple of people assisting me, they could just put lights in their rucksack or what have you. And the Bowens, even their excuse me, even their smallest lights are kind of a bit too bulky now for what it to be considered ideally suited to my requirements. So I'm in the position whereby, and this goes back to what I was saying about sort of sentimentality and what have you, I do have a sentimental link to these lights because they were the first lights that I got. But they are pretty bulky. They're in a pretty compact case, but they do take up space, and I'm thinking, when I add it up, I've got the space element and the weight. I've got the fact that the nature of my work has moved on, so there's probably something more suited. And there's the fact that if they are just sat there, really, in the most part, not being used, I think over this past year I've maybe used them, have I used them about 3 times, possibly? Maybe 4 times? Is there any point me keeping them? The other thing is with them, they are the variety which are only mains based, so they don't run off their own. Well, one of them does, although I don't have it. They don't run off their own standalone battery, which for me, more and more now, is can be a deal breaker, because I have to go out and about and far from a main, electrical mains. Now, flashlights are very good for that, the speed lights, the Nikons and the Canon equivalents, but they do have their limitations. So, for example, around about this time, a couple of years ago, I seem to remember there was a particular shoot whereby I think it was either November, it was either November or it was January. I can't remember, but it was a bright but a damp day. We had I think we had frost first thing, and we had to wait for that to clear up a bit and what have you. When it got to about 3:30, 4:30 in the afternoon, the light levels started to drop, and then the ambient temperature and the moisture in the air, the dampness kicked in, and all of a sudden the batteries were starting to fail. Even the ones that had been charged up started to fail. So speed lights are not the answer. And I could go and buy a whole sort of battery of another 6 speed lights, and some people would say, well, that's more suited to what I do. But sometimes you want a bit more power. And I have my eyes on a particular set of lights, which, from what I can tell, whether it's to do with budget, whether it's to do with their output, whether it's to do with the nature of my work, they are just about, at the moment, I think, perfectly suited, just like the Bowens lights were way back when. So, I'm going to round things up on this. This is sort of a quick... I thought I'd just record this quickly, because I'm just about to go off and do some stuff. But where do you stand on this point? Do you... or what do you think I should do? I think I know the answer, but I'd be interested to know. Now, more likely than not, I will be listing these lights on eBay. And if that is the case, I would obviously give you guys notice. You check the Facebook page, you'll see that I'm just about to do that, what have you. If any of you listening here in the UK are in the market for some lights, or if you're looking to pick up a good set of lights, they still work and all the rest of it, they haven't even got that many scratches or anything on them, then do let me know, because it would be nice to think that they go to a good home, that by people that appreciate them, that can make use of them, and I'm not going to be looking for an extortionate amount of money, but it makes sense for me to put that money towards the new set of lights. And I have certain shoots coming up where these new lights are going to be the answer. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. I thought I'd just share a few thoughts, but again, let me know where you stand on moving your kit forward. Do you, for example, when a new camera comes out, do you think, oh, I'm going to trade in my old one and get the new version? Or like me, do you think, do you know what, my clients don't complain, I'm happy with the results, the cameras don't hold their value as you might like anyway, so may as well just keep using them, and then when they go pop, then that's the time that I invest in a new one or what have you. So, kind of a general discussion point, I guess, but I would be interested to know what your thoughts are on these various questions that I have raised. So, time for me to head out and about, but on that note, I will leave it there. I know that these sort of question-posing shows are always popular, so if you have any suggestions for a future episode, please do let me know. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, @GilesBabbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.